Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. 15th day of November, 15th show of Styles and Watkins. And this is, wait, this is it.
Oh my
this
gosh,
is this is it. This is the last time. Wow.
Everyone
this is the
right.
last time we will talk about the number show it is. 15 is a good limit. It's very similar to saying Happy New Year's,
right.
where that limit is, yeah. right? So no more numbering it. We are just an official show now. Ooh. We have something that we come back with now. We
right.
have a return,
rejoin.
A
nice.
Rejoin sound. So sounds great. Thank you for that. And yeah, it was a good run. Thanks for everybody for not roasting us as we numbered them. It was good stuff. But now yeah. we're not new. You know, it's the same thing, right? Whether it's newlyweds or you just had a baby, right? How long do you say congrats,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's the same idea. 15 sounded right, mm-hmm. right? So that's it. That's yep. it. Thank you. And all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda line hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And what a show to stop numbering them, because
yeah.
Draymond took us basically the first hour. Brendan Nunes joined us, and that was great. As well, Sacktown Sports Kings reporter. Be sure to follow him on social media. A great follow. And we break down Kings versus Lakers, and not just Kings versus Lakers, the whole road trip that the yeah. Kings have coming, because it's not going to be tough. Now, Austin Reeves has been a big point of, I guess, communication and conversation with the Lakers, because he was supposed to be part of the Big Three.
Right.
He was boogieing in the playoffs. He goes on to play for Team USA in the FIBA World Cup. Everybody's thinking, we got our guy, got yeah. off to a slow start. But Chris Watkins here, you don't think that the slow starter or what's going on
yeah.
with the Lakers is not on Austin.
No, I don't think it's on Austin Reeves. I first and foremost think it's on Darvin Ham, and by extension, I think it's on D'Angelo Russell. A huge caveat, I am the world's biggest D'Angelo Russell hater. I'm just not a fan of
yeah.
of how he plays. I hate his defense. I actively do. I don't always use the term hate. I hate how D'Angelo Russell plays defense. He's definitely been a lot better this year, but he was with Trae Young as the worst defenders in the NBA. He's just somebody I don't really like his style of play. He's a guy who, frankly, kind of thinks he's the main character in the movie, and he's just, in every situation he's been in, he just hasn't been. But again, this is not even about D'Angelo Russell. It's about D'Angelo Russell.
But if you need to get it out, just
I had to get it out. But also, it does tie into D'Angelo's play, because I think Austin Reeves' best role, and the role that you were even laying out there, is in the playoffs. He's that guy that can bring the ball down the floor and set up the offense and create his own offense mm-hmm. when LeBron doesn't have the ball. As we've seen in LeBron's past, I think Kyrie Irving was somebody who was kind of a revelation for LeBron in his career, where he kind of understood that as he got older, he couldn't do literally everything. He couldn't
right.
have the ball in his hand every single play like he did in those early Cleveland years, or even in the heart of his career in Cleveland as well. He knew he would have to at least, just for like a in-game load mm-hmm. management, just, hey, man, can you just bring the ball down the floor
right.
so I don't
right.
have to do it? And that's kind of the role that Austin Reeves served. It was somebody that could, again, create his own shot. You could trust with the ball in his hand. He would make shots. He could shoot threes. He could draw fouls. Drawing fouls is really the biggest thing that he brought to that team last year. And he could also run the pick and roll with AD as well, which we know AD is one of, if not the best pick and roll option in the NBA. I just think they need to put the ball in Austin Reeves' hands more. And I do really think that a lot of the Lakers' problems stem from them re-signing D'Angelo Russell. I think I don't know why you make a really smart, really good move in bringing in Gabe Vincent. I think everybody universally likes Gabe Vincent's game.
Mm-hmm.
They understand he's a guy who almost feels like a perfect LeBron teammate, just someone who's going to do all the dirty work. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a given night, he can surprise you and give you 15 or 20 points, knock down a couple threes, and guard the team's best perimeter player. He's not playing because they're playing D'Angelo Russell so much, and they're paying D'Angelo Russell
yeah.
so much as well. It's one of those situations where I don't know if, you know, D'Lo's agent is really close with LeBron. I don't think D'Lo's a clutch guy.
I don't think he is.
But it just, that signing made no sense to me. I don't know who Who else would have paid D'Angelo Russell the money that he got paid this offseason? And I really do think that that's a big reason why he's getting the playing time he's getting now, because I kind of think the Lakers are using him as a trade chip, and part of playing him so much is to raise his value and show, you know, if they want to make a – I mean, I think it's worked out pretty well in Dallas, but I think they were looking at – okay, let's sign D'Lo to a – I think – there's no way that – he made $31 million last year. He's not making that this year.
No, right now he's making 17.3. Like,
yeah. Right, so that's a – we talk about – that's right in the Harrison Barnes number. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful contract number when it comes to GMs and moving contracts. That's a guy that they're going to try, and when the Lakers are going to hit the mid-season point and it's going to say, oh, you know, LeBron and AD have played – 28 of 40 games, and they kind of need somebody in the playoffs if they want to make a real run. I think D'Lo and some combination of maybe Rui, maybe, you know, Cam Reddish has been someone who's been good for them. Maybe it's Christian Wood finding another team, though he's been really good for them in his minutes. I just think that D'Lo's ultimate purpose for this team is to be moved and just used as essentially a trade chip. But I really think that his play and how much they've played him has played a huge factor into why Austin Reeves just hasn't looked like the guy that he looked like last season.
So you think they're showcasing him to try to move him?
To an extent, yeah. Yeah. And obviously not sacrificing wins along the way, but I think it all kind of, yeah, I think it all kind of ties into each other.
Because a couple games ago, that was the big news. They, I believe, kept D'Angelo in the starting lineup and put Reeves on the bench and brought Cam Reddish into the starting lineup.
I will say D'Lo is playing well. D'Lo is playing well. He's playing well enough. He's playing better than Austin Reeves. Like, Austin Reeves has actively not played well to this point in the season, but again, I think it's all kind of tied into each other.
Right. You don't think there is a world right now where Austin Reeves and D'Lo can coexist, essentially?
Yeah, essentially, and I think that that's a common problem in D'Angelo Russell's career, whether it be even in Golden State. Like, he was kind of just a placeholder for that Kevin Durant contract that they eventually spun into Andrew Wiggins. He then goes to Minnesota. And Minnesota, we talked about it yesterday on the Crosstalk. I just think Mike Conley is such a head and shoulders improvement over D'Angelo Russell, not skill-wise. I mean, Mike Conley's about as boring or vanilla as it gets when it comes to point guard play in this generation. But just his stability and his decision-making, I think, is the biggest thing that makes Conley just such a massive upgrade, even though talent-wise, I would say D'Angelo Russell's got all the talent in the world. He's almost like, I kind of view him more like a guard version of Julius Randle, where Julius Randle, you look at his numbers and you look at his play, he's a good player, like undeniably. I just think when you watch him a lot of the time, it's like, boy, this is a lot of Julius Randle doing a lot of things, and sometimes you get those, you know, Malik Monk, JaVale McGee head-scratching plays where it's just like, dude, you're good, but like, you're not able to do that.
Yeah, you should chill out a bit. And that, it's interesting because that's really how D'Angelo Russell has been throughout his career, besides what happened in Brooklyn. And even in Brooklyn, he was still part of...
I forgot about the Brooklyn era, too.
That was the ice cold pointing to his veins.
But
and
to
now,
that point, he didn't have anybody else on that team.
Right, right.
Like, that's him living his dream.
And then after that, I think it was in his Minnesota after that. And then the Warriors. Yeah. And he's just one of those guys where there's just a group of guys that will just forever, your role is to be a trade piece, right? And look, it's a great life.
Yeah.
It's a great life, like being a backup quarterback or something like that. You're always going to have a role.
Travel the country, you know?
Yeah, your job is to get people in the seats and make it seem like we're trying, right?
For sure.
And when we go to D'Angelo Russell making 17, that's why as much as it was a good deal for the Lakers with Austin Reeves, it is a bit bizarre. You talk about... I mean, Austin Reeves, give Jeremy Grant's guy a call. Give his agent a call, because Austin Reeves making
nothing,
$12 million, $12 million, then $13 million, then a player option for $14 million, basically $15 million.
That's crazy.
I don't
especially
get
after
that.
The playoffs he had last year. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and because of that, you're making a couple mil less or $5 million less than D'Lo, and they're saying, hey, well, he's not going anywhere.
Right.
And we have a great contract with him. So now he's been in trade conversations too. So the Lakers, as usual, drama, drama, drama.
Love it.
The Kings face them tonight, so we'll see what happens there. I did want to get to this LeBron sound because we've been talking about self-awareness as we think the Draymond news will happen soon in terms of how long he's going to be suspended because the Warriors are – these games don't stop. So here is LeBron mic'd up, and it's the whole little clip of him mic'd up. But the first clip is the one that really got me. Here he is.
All that. I really threw you to the ground like that, J.J. Yes, sir. What do you mean? He didn't possess the ball?
I felt like he went and kind of tossed it back to the floor.
No, yeah, he touched it. He didn't. You said possession. He didn't possess that.
And what's hilarious is LeBron's been in the league so long, we know to the radio audience and the YouTube audience, if you haven't seen the clip yet, you can see LeBron's face throughout all that, even if you haven't seen
you
it.
Can hear
so
it.
The first one, which was hilarious to me, because LeBron legitimately threw...
Yeah, he like grabs his shoulders and like olays him to the ground pretty much.
Yes, he legitimately throws the player to the ground and, you know, he's just pretending...
It's like that? Huh? I threw it like that?
I really did it like that. And it's just hilarious because, yeah, LeBron, number one, it is because you did. And number two, it's hilarious because LeBron, out of all people,
he's trying to call somebody out. Flopping?
Jaren Jackson Jr., he throws him to the ground and accuses him of flopping.
Yeah.
So the self-awareness, and knowing he's mic'd up, LeBron is smart.
Yes.
So he's talking about Jaren Jackson Jr. flopping when LeBron is literally known for making almost a mockery of some of these plays where he's just flailing on the ground. They have whole YouTube videos of LeBron just all flopping. So I thought that was hilarious. I don't know if he'll be mic'd up tonight. It is a national.
It is a national.
A lot of Kings national games lately. And as we talk about
Wednesday
expectations, a lot of people will say it doesn't matter. We had this conversation. Was it the Vikings? I know Kirk Cousins has struggled in prime time, but there's another team that 10 a.m. games, they play really well, and then the primetime games, they don't. So this is an opportunity for the Kings when you talk about power rankings and things like that.
Yep.
These nationally televised games, no, they shouldn't mean anything more, but they do. They do. Playing the Lakers, it's like the SEC. It just means more.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
Some of these games, they just mean a bit more. Lakers, listen to this, though. Lakers, then you got Wemby and the Spurs, then you got your boy Luka and Kyrie. Are you going to be wearing? Oh no! Here's my question. And Simone, I just got to double check because before we get to a break, I just got to double check real quick. Will you be wearing a half Mavericks, half Kings jersey? Would you?
No.
And it's Luka on the
back. Yeah.
Did you have one of those?
I don't know.
Okay,
no.
I have a Luka Kings jersey. I can get you one since you and Brendan are giving me a gift.
Yeah.
I can get you a gift. I know some people.
I would love one. I would absolutely love a Luka jersey. Yeah, that thing could be worth a lot of money someday, you know. Best player in the NBA.
Okay.
I'm just saying. If you want to do me that solid, I'd love that.
I'll see what I can do.
Appreciate it.
Christmas is coming up. Yeah. I know what you and Brendan are going to do, by the way.
Oh, no, you have
It's going to
no
be
idea.
A mini beam no, that I can
I'm
put in my home, and I will light that thing.
No.
Every single Kings win.
No.
It's going to be a mini beam or it's going to be a shirt that says light the beam. Mm. Something like that. And I'll wear it with pride. I got purple on right now for game day.
No.
I'm ready to go.
You're a beamer.
I am a beamer. Yeah. I am not a dreamer.
No.
And I never will be.
No.
There
you
go.
You've been very consistent.
Got to get to a break. Let's preview that upcoming schedule and expectations for the Kings when we get back. A couple more numbers to break down with the Lakers as well. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. A lot to break down with the Kings as they head on a rough road trip and the expectations from Kings fans and from the Kings themselves. Still no Trey Lyles, now no Alex Len. Is it the return of JaVale McGee? We saw him a little bit against, you know, in the last game where they took down the Cavs, so that was great to see. Donovan Mitchell tried to do his thing. He got locked up. Davion Mitchell got locked up in terms of not being able to get on the court as we see what will happen next for the Kings. But let's continue to preview the Lakers. And Chris, you had some stats here that are going to sound very Lakerish when you say them. Here we go.
Yeah, for sure. So, I was, as we did with the Cleveland Cavaliers, I just kind of looked at some numbers for the Lakers, what they're good at, what they're best at. And is anybody surprised that the Lakers are the best in the NBA at free throw disparity, where they are taking the fifth most free throw attempts in the NBA, and their opponents have the fewest free throw attempts per game? Are we surprised by that?
So the first one, no. The fact that their opponents have the fewest, that's come on now.
Sure, yeah, that's where it gets, that's
let's not touch it. Come on. But that's a little dicey.
That's where it's like, you know.
It's a little sticky for me.
Come on. What are we talking about?
You know how sticky it gets.
It makes sense. You know, we Kings fans are no stranger to how Laker games can maybe be called differently than any other game, and how that sometimes can really not bode well for your opponent. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely something you need to keep in mind. Lakers opponents are only taking 18.7 free throws per game. Just for like reference of what other, like the fifth fewest attempts is the Celtics, allow 20. So the Lakers are pretty significant, significantly lower than just about anybody else or a majority of the league when it comes to giving up free throws. And yeah, you know, they got LeBron, he's a physical freak, and the amount of times he drives the lane, like, you're going to have to, on two or three occasions, just wrap him up and hope he doesn't finish. And AD as well, with how long he is, sometimes it can be hard because of how long his arms are. You're like, normally when I try and block this shot, the ball is here, but I think I just hit his wrist. So sometimes, the Lakers definitely do a good job of getting to the line, and the player personnel at least makes sense. But to me, the other side of the floor is like, come on. The Lakers really, with AD and him trying to get every block possible, he's really their only shot blocker. You're telling me the Lakers, unless they're just a turnstile at the rim and they just don't really contest shots at the rim, the fact that they're giving up the fewest free throws and have the fifth most attempts is just, it's ridiculous.
Well, what has always been crazy to me is that LeBron will play all these minutes, and we can look it up during the break. I don't know how many times LeBron has fouled out, and this might sound insane.
Let's look it up.
It might be under 10. You always look up, and LeBron has two fouls. It's the fourth quarter, and LeBron has two fouls.
Sorry, I'm typing it up.
There's no way it's over 15.
Especially, I mean, how many times has he played 35 to 38-plus minutes?
Right.
And then how often is LeBron ever in serious foul? Or even, like, four fouls with 8 minutes to go in the game, where it's like, oh, like, he's at least got to monitor his fouls.
No, he never does. Yeah. And I'm going to guess here, as you're looking it up, and we can come back to it. We don't have to get to it right this second. But my guess, I'm going to go higher, even though I said 10. I think I was lowballing it a little bit. I'm going to say LeBron has fouled out 16 times in his career.
Well, this is insane.
Oh boy.
This is insane. This is according to StatMuse.
Okay.
LeBron James has played in six games with six-plus personal fouls. Interpreted as LeBron James, six or more fouls, regular season games in his career. Once in 2004, once in 2006, once in 2008, once in 2014 with Miami, and then twice in 2017 with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Six games?
Six.
That's what this says. I'm going to do some double checking on this, but I'm going to go.
He's fouled out. How many
in
games
the regular
has he,
season?
In the regular season?
Yeah.
He's 38.
He is 38.
He's
year 21.
Incredible. Wow. Year 21.
Year
he's 21. Fouled out six times.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure, you know, when we're throwing out these.
Jess on the YouTube chat, that's high, Styles. How do you
figure? That should not be high. That's incredibly low.
I was going to take the over, too, just because of the frequency of games,
LeBron,
I'm so bad at math, but like...
No, let's find the percentage.
Okay.
LeBron has played in 1,431 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fouled out of six of them. In that position, as a physical player, this isn't Steph Curry.
Nope.
This isn't a finesse player.
This is a dude that runs at the rim like a freight train.
Yes, and is actively trying to block shots.
Yeah. And yeah, from what I'm seeing here, I'm kind of going year by year. It looks correct to me.
Wow.
It looks correct. And also by this same logic, he has not fouled out in a game since 2017.
Like, everyone just laughed.
Wow. Pre-pandemic, LeBron, in much before.
That is insane.
Since LeBron fouled out in a game. I'm just going to...
Part of that, I'm going to give... 20. We haven't done our pie in a while. I will give...
Yeah, who's that blame
60,
pie to?
60% of that to LeBron, good defense, sure. And 40% of that to the league.
Absolutely. I mean, that's ridiculous. And yeah, I'm double-checking right now. I'm seeing like... And also, yeah, just like a handful of 5 foul games. Not even really in threatening for...
No.
For fouling out.
No.
Again, like just, which also, you know, credit to him. Much is talked about LeBron, and I agree. He's one of the smartest players of all times. I'm sure some of that is he knows how to foul people correctly, right. Or, you know, how to get away with fouls.
I throw you down like that, JJ.
Yeah.
Really? I throw you down like that, JJ.
Crazy.
All that.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I'm double checking here, and I've checked all the years since 2017, and there is not a single game in which I have found LeBron James has fouled out. So, yeah, I'm rolling with it. 6 times in his career has LeBron James fouled out of a basketball game.
Well, good for him.
That's nuts.
I guess we...
And all those games were 40-plus minutes, the exception
you
of one
keep
in 20,
getting away with
No, he
it.
Is going to keep he's, getting away with this.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it. So, I mean, yeah, if you're the Kings, you need to keep that in the back of your mind. We saw that we talk about that clip. You know, that Mike Brown clip of him yelling at Malik Monk saying, if you ask for a foul one more time, I'm going to lose my top. And this is one of those games that's going to test, do these guys listen to Mike Brown when he right. says, stop complaining, play through the game.
Right.
It's what every coach says. You know, stop. Just focus. Focus on the game. Don't let the referees get in your head. You know, you play and you let me deal with the officials. You guys just play basketball. We'll see tonight. Tonight is definitely one of those.
It's in L.A.
Yeah,
it's in L.A. And that's a little bit different.
It's definitely different.
I do want to say something about the Kings. Because when you watch, and people will say the funny term foul merchant. And,
yes.
And Joel Embiid as yeah, a foul merchant.
Sure.
Giannis as a foul merchant. Who else is there?
Trae Young.
Shai Gilgeous, Trae Young, a lot of
James
these guys.
Harden.
James Harden, Austin, the whole Lakers roster, right? I'll say this about the Kings. They play with integrity.
Yeah.
They play straight up. You don't see a bunch of head whipping. D'Angelo Russell might be the worst.
Yeah.
D'Angelo
when
Russell
it comes
might
to head
have
whipping?
To
oh, yeah.
He might have to wear a neck brace yeah. after every game. I mean, you touch his wrist and he's yeah. whipping his neck back. And I will say the Kings, at least they play with integrity.
Yeah.
You don't see De'Aaron Fox trying to be a foul merchant. Mm-mm. You don't see Malik Monk. You don't see Harrison Barnes. You don't see Sabonis. Now, Sabonis, does he play up some things? Sure. But he's also getting whacked down there yeah. all the time.
All the time.
So sometimes you got to say, hey, man, I don't like this. Keegan Murray is not a foul merchant. So it's going to be a battle because yeah. you can be a Boy Scout if you want. But in L.A., they do not care. And you have to play by the Lakers' rules. So do not get upset, Kings fans, Beam Regime, Kingdom. Do not be upset and just expect it. When you see the head whipping, right, trying to do the nay-nay or the squabble, whatever you're trying to do out there, do not be surprised when you yeah. see that. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will preview the upcoming schedule and our expectations for what the Kings can do on this road trip. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., talking all things Kings. Later, I've been teasing this for over a day now. Later, we are going to ask the question, who's better, Brock Purdy or Josh Allen? We got some numbers to read. Because Brock, I am now a Brock star.
Yeah.
Okay, it took me a while. It didn't take me a while. I knew Brock was good, but I think the Niners can do some things. So.
Can I just say that your reputation heading into this, like
okay.
Before mm-hmm. we even did a show together,
sure.
I had heard that Allen Styles was a Trey Lyles, or a Trey, I almost called him Trey Young, and then after that, how far removed are we from Trey Lance guy? I heard that you were I believe that was like the overwhelming,
that's what the streets
were
saying.
Yeah, that's what the streets were saying about Allen Styles. It was, oh, that guy, oh, he's a Trey Lance truther. He's not a Brock Purdy guy at all. So you've allegedly came a long way.
What had happened was it wasn't that I just thought that Trey didn't get a lot of opportunity. I still feel that way.
I agree.
But I always said that Brock came in and looked better than what we saw from Trey. Mm-hmm. Now, when people wanted to give Brock Purdy a gold jacket after eight games, I said, now hold on now. Hold on a second. You know what I mean? So that's all it was. I always thought Brock Purdy was better than serviceable. I just didn't know where I was with Brock, but the Brock is hot. Yeah. He's been balling. Cooled off a little bit. I actually think it was a little overblown these last couple games or these last couple quarters that he didn't play well, but he's back on track. And that throw that I saw to Kittle, that was our Truck Smart Drive of the Week yesterday. That was just ridiculous. That told me if this guy can only throw the ball or continue to not throw interceptions, because he wasn't throwing interceptions, and then they just all came at one time, and these things even out, right? I think the Niners will be okay, and their ceiling is something else. So we will get to that a little bit later. That is at 1 p.m. as we continue to preview the Kings' schedule, starting with the Lakers. And now we have, let's see this, road trip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Simone, you're going to be a part of this conversation as well. You have, and we want you, 916-339-1140 to be a part of the conversation. YouTube chat has been rocking and rolling. Thank you so much. Text line been rocking and rolling as well. Let's play predict the Kings record for this specific road trip. Mm. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games at Lakers, at Spurs, at Mavericks, at Pelicans, at Pelicans again. Watch out for the jambalaya. And the beignets, by the way. I love a good beignet.
Oh, yeah.
And last but not least, your boy, Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and the crew, Rudy Gobert, at Timberwolves. And the last thing about that was people were mad that Rudy Gobert didn't get any punishment. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm not mad at you. You don't think he deserved anything? No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I don't.
Just had to throw that out there.
I mean, yeah. I think that comes down to if you believe that Rudy was going to put Clay in a headlock or not.
Right. It depends on the screenshot.
Yeah, exactly.
The screenshot heard around the world.
They're going to look at that thing extensively.
No, hop on. I'm sure that's right there. Zoom in. Get the pixels right. So we're going to do what you are going to predict.
Mm-hmm.
And because obviously what we would all hope for is
6-0. Right.
Right. So what do you think it will be? I'm going to start with, let's go around the room. Oh, here you go. YouTube chat. Patrick Donaldson says 4-2. Dwayne Baker says 4-2. I think that's what we all would hope for.
Yeah. I think right? 4-2 would be, we could say, we can come here, when would that be? On the 25th. Well, I guess we would have a show on the 27th and say, that was a good road trip. That was undeniably a good road. Obviously, 5-1 would be great. 6-0 would be incredible. But
now,
I think winning record would be like.
Because you are such a good analyst, I want you to pick the losses as well.
Sure, why not? Let's go one by one. I feel like the Kings obviously already got the result, took overtime, but I feel like the Kings are a better team than the Lakers. And I think stylistically, the Kings kind of present a lot of problems for the Lakers as well. I think they should beat the Lakers. I think they should beat San Antonio as well. You know, Wemby aside, that team is really, really bad, and there really shouldn't be any excuses for that. I'm telling you, I really think Dallas is not as hard of an opponent as what everyone's making them out to be. Mm-hmm. You look at their record, and yeah, it's really impressive. I think they're still sitting at 8-2, but you look at their quality of wins, and it's an absolute joke, okay? First off, they've lost to the Nuggets, which is really their only tough test of the year. Let me read you the teams, the Dallas Mavericks, who are just killing everybody.
Okay.
Let me tell you who they've beaten. They've beaten the San Antonio Spurs on opening night.
Wemby.
They beat the Brooklyn Nets the following 2 days later.
Okay.
Okay, that's a decent. Okay. Yeah. Average at best.
Shout out Mikal Bridges.
The Memphis Grizzlies, who are currently the worst team in the Western Conference. The Chicago Bulls, who had a meeting, a players-only meeting game one and are already trading their best player. Then they lose to the Nuggets. Then they beat the Charlotte Hornets. They beat the Orlando Magic. They lose to the Raptors. They beat the Clippers, who everybody's beating these days, and they just split a nice little two-game road trip against the Pelicans, much like the Kings are doing as well. So you look at their quality of wins, and it's really the Pelicans, I guess, are their best win so far that I would give them. And besides that, anytime they've played a team that's even remotely difficult, they've lost. So I'm not as afraid of the Dallas Mavericks as everybody else is. I think the Kings should handle that. I think the loss, frankly, comes in New Orleans. I think that they're just going to split one of those. They traditionally have a tough time playing New Orleans. I don't know if it is the gumbo, the jambalaya, them beignets. Yeah.
Bourbon Street, you know, be man, careful.
Zion will show you around town, okay? You that know, man was, clearly knows his
right.
way
no, he
around some cuisine, okay? Right.
Okay. No, you know,
I
went to New Orleans. That's one of the places I need to go back to as an adult. Yeah. I went as a kid, and I did have alligator.
What? It's delicious.
It's very good.
What do we...
It tastes like
chicken.
It tastes like chicken, but closer to fish.
Yeah.
A fish consistency, but not as thin as fish.
Okay.
But it's like glossy. If you take a bite or break it open, it's glossy.
It's like a chicken wing, very specifically.
The meat, you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Do I want to know what part of
like
the gator
breasts.
It is?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I guess just alligator gator nuggets.
Yeah. I thought, maybe the tail, but I guess not.
I don't know. I don't want.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
the
let's
thing.
Not
also
think about it.
I don't want
to. I do want to go back, though.
Yeah.
But, hey, stay away from the... maybe they can, instead of Bourbon Street, get some gator bites. Or just be safe with it, right? Maybe don't do anything crazy down there. Yeah, two games. So
two
you're
games.
Saying one? They're going to drop one of those.
I think they'll drop one of them, and I think the other loss could come against Minnesota. I don't know how that game's going to go. I think it's going to be that's like the most important in-season tournament game that the Kings are going to play. So if they are going to give any added attention to any of these in-season tournament games, that one against Minnesota, who's now 2-0 at the top of their group, that's probably going to be the one where you go full tilt if you're going to go full tilt at all in this knockout or in this group stage. So that could be the one that I'm kind of fluctuating on. So I'm going to say, you know what? I'll say 5-1. Why not?
Wow.
I'll say
5-1. Bold, Cotton.
We'll
I like that.
Off.
I definitely like that. I'm just double checking here.
Yeah.
One thing to note, Mavericks Pelicans, right? That's Sunday, November 19th, Monday, November 20th. That's a back-to-back.
Yes.
Just wanted to note that.
Sure.
I will run through my list really quick, and then maybe we can round out with you, if that's cool.
Oh, yes.
Stouse. I'm going to go 3-3. It's very similar to kind of what Watkins has put down here. I'm going to split the Pelicans as well. I think a little bit of trouble's also going to come with the Timberwolves. And I think an L with the Mavs, actually.
Oh, so 3-3, Mavs,
we have a
Pelicans.
Little fit sometimes with them.
And, you know, if that happens, obviously that's not the most exciting because then they kind of beat the teams that it feels like they should beat and lost to the teams that you would want them to. But even still, that feels like one of those where you take the step back and it's like, that's all right.
Yeah.
Like 3-3 is not ideal, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I think as long as they don't go through the road trip 2-4, I think they're fine.
Right.
I think it's just, again, keep your head above water right now.
Yeah, I think that is realistic for sure. We are getting a lot of YouTube chats and text lines in right now. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we got to get to a break. 916-339-1140. Get your texts in. Get your YouTube chat in. And I will give my breakdown.
I hope so.
When we get back. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Styles
with
and Watkins. Sacktown Sports.
Look at it. Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
Can the Niners build off their NFL?
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, the Pelicans, not a back-to-back, but two games coming up. That is during the road trip as we break down the upcoming schedule. I will give what I think will be the record, but let's get to, as they take on the Lakers tonight, the Kings do, let's get to some of your texts and chat about it. Nick Town says 5-1, love that. Benjamin says 3-3. Epic Airbus says 3-3. Manny, too legit. Of course, we had to get 1-6-0.
Manny.
Of course.
We had to get 1-6-0. 209 on the text line says 6-0 with some nail biters. 530 says, I'm guessing 3-3 with losses to Dallas, New Orleans, and Minnesota. Same. I think that's really realistic. That was what Simone had. 916 says 4-2 is the ceiling. 3-3 I'd be happy with. 2-4 is meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to panic if they're 2-4, but 2-4, I think, okay, you're on the road. It's a long road trip.
Yes, it is.
Right. Yeah, so sure. I think you can survive from that, but anytime, and I know this seems like very simple arithmetic here, but anytime you lose games that you have an opportunity to win, you just have to make up for them.
Yes.
Right. So those off games, you got to power through. And that's why I won't talk bad about that Blazers win, because there are road trips like this where you have to figure it out. I did want to read something, though, because you know we like to keep receipts.
Yep.
So I got a number. I'm not going to read the area code. Okay? I'm going to read the text.
Okay.
Because earlier in the show, we were talking about LeBron James and how he only fouled out 6 times in his whole career. Yep. He's played over 1,400 games. So we got a text here. And again, you want to be part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. Here's a text. Being Lakers haters is one thing, but crying about how many times James has fouled out is ridiculous. Are you going to bash Chamberlain as well? I believe he fouled out once. Oh, yeah. He was a Laker. Now, I'm going to read off.
He's also a Warrior, too. Yes. Let's not forget.
Okay. Now, I'm going to read off all of the area codes in Los Angeles, and I want you to guess where it's from.
Okay,
you have the 213.
Okay.
You have the 310.
Okay.
You have the 424. You have the 661. You have the 818. Okay. And you have the 323.
Sure.
Which area code do you like? My uncle lives in Inglewood. He's 310. Which area code do you think this text was from?
I'll say 213.
And I'm so ignorant. I don't know anything about LA. I'll say the 818, I think you said.
Okay, shout out to the 818. I believe that's San Diego area. Shout out to Inglewood. Inglewood. This was from the 510. This was from the 510. Isn't that Oakland?
It is.
Really?
That is Oakland, yeah.
So you're here talking about us being Lakers haters when we're only talking about LeBron, and really we were just astounded by it. As a 510, shouldn't you be a Warrior fans? Don't you got Draymond to defend? This is the problem with the Lakers. This is the problem with Lakers fans. They just show up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They show up. You know when you're in your house sometimes and, you left that banana too long and a fruit fly just appears and, I guess I got to throw away that fruit. That's Laker fans. They just appear. They just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The 510.
Come on.
Not 213.
Nope.
Not 310.
No.
Not 424.
Yeah.
Not 661. Not 818. Not 323.
Didn't they used to have 619 too?
Probably. Yeah, still sure. Not this person. Yeah. Shout out all the Laker fans in the 510. Mm. Stop it.
Come on.
Give me a break.
Come on.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Get out of here.
Like you were watching back then. Stop.
Sounds like you did some
research.
You're
a LeBron fan. Stop hiding. Stop hiding. You got that. You remember that last year, that woman in the stands that had the three-way jersey, three-way split?
Oh, no, that's too
It
much.
Was a third Cavs, a third Heat, and a third Lakers.
That's fire.
Naturally.
This might
that's
be them.
Fire.
This might be them.
That's so cool.
Shout out to the 510. Love the Bay, but come on now. Come on now. Now, back to the Kings. I just had to get to that real quick. Because I love it. I love it. Back to the Kings and what we expect. I will say I'm stuck between 4-2 and 3-3.
Okay.
Right? Lakers
I don't
might
like
be
that.
Yeah. No, I
don't
know.
Like that at all.
I know. I've been the optimist here.
This whole time I thought you were just gonna go, I agree with 3-3 or 4-2, and that's why. You were just chambering that this whole time.
No, well look, I think the Lakers could get spicy tonight.
For sure.
I think so. And let's not forget the Lakers, I don't know how much, you don't need bulletin board material. LeBron's played a lot of, year 21, he's played a lot of games. But the Lakers did lose to the Kings.
Sure.
LeBron likes to show up in nationally televised games.
Sure.
Right, so I think this could be the one to where maybe you slip, you're just now getting on the road. Those weird lights in LA, quite literally and figuratively. So I think they might drop this game. Mm. They get Spurs, they get Mavericks. They get Pelicans. My question is, are they able to beat the Pelicans back-to-back? That's very tough.
Yeah, that's
so I have a win against the Spurs, a win against the Mavericks, and at least one win against the Pelicans. The question is, do I think they either beat the Pelicans again or beat the Timberwolves? Mm-hmm. And you know what? I gotta go 4-2.
Come on.
I think they surprisingly have learned from their mistakes in Houston. I think they drop to the sandwich, basically a sandwich of losses, right? So I think they lose to the Lakers and lose to the Timberwolves, but they beat the Spurs, the Mavericks, the Pelicans twice. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, and I kind of jokingly said during the break, I feel like, we're going to have all these predictions of how these games are going to go. And yeah, the Kings are going to go 4-2, 3-3. I feel like what's actually going to happen is the Kings will probably go either 3-3 and 4 or 4-2. And it'll just be like the most broken method of getting there possible where, yeah, they'll destroy the Lakers.
Right.
They'll get crushed by San Antonio, kill Dallas.
It's not going to
make
sense.
Kill New Orleans the first time on the back-to-back, then lose the Wednesday game and then beat the Wolves or something like that. And yeah, we'll sit there and be like, well, it wasn't how we thought it happened, but the Kings were 4-2 on the road trip.
Right. I just feel like I'm trying to go outside of it because I just feel like it's too easy, right? And the Kings have not really made things easy this season.
Yeah, for
right?
sure. Exactly.
What it's supposed to be, I don't feel like it'll happen that way. But
that's
who
Kings
knows?
That's Kings basketball for you.
That's
you're learning
Kings basketball
quick. You're learning
for
quick.
You. Yeah. And you know, the Lakers, again, they're coming off that back-to-back, which is a great point. But you also did note that it was a bit of a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
So the big two.
Yeah, AD and Bron didn't play that entire fourth quarter.
LeBron was too busy being mic'd up, talking about how he didn't throw down Jaren Jackson Jr. and all that good stuff. So I do think that it'll be interesting how the Kings take this show on the road and how they take the defensive show on the road. And I say defensive, honestly, the shooting too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the shooting's the biggest thing that they need. They need to hit their perimeter shots if they want to beat the Lakers tonight. That was another one of the numbers that I found is that the Lakers allow the fourth most opponent three-point field goals made. People just spray it against the Lakers. Seventh highest three-point percentage amongst opponents. 37% opponents shoot against the Lakers, and that's going to be the key for the Kings making tonight easy, is if it looks like how it looked the other night against, why am I blanking on the team I want to say?
Okay,
see, against
Thunder,
the Cavs. Yeah. Against the Cavs, if they can even show a semblance, of course they're not going to be able to shoot 47% from three, but if Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray can just knock down 33% of their threes, knock down at least three of them each, that's the recipe for the Kings winning. And let's not forget that this team has looked just night and day different with De'Aaron Fox out there. They've put up 130 points in three of the four games he's been involved with. The Lakers still do not have an answer for De'Aaron.
No.
And, you know, they don't have Jared Vanderbilt out there either. He's been hurt.
I don't know. He's like the Lakers trade.
We get
Trey
mad
Lyles.
At Trey Lyles.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is going on? Trey Lyles
he's
situation.
Been fitted up for a very
I feel
long
like
time.
Even in the playoffs, he was fitted up. And I'm like, what's happening? Like, what is going on?
Because
that's a guy who, you know, if you're the Lakers, Jared Vanderbilt on De'Aaron, that's about as good of a matchup as you can get defensively on him. So, yeah, without a guy like that, they're going to be throwing Austin Reeves. They're going to probably throw Gabe Vincent, but probably also a lot of D'Angelo Russell on De'Aaron. And
that
should be an all-day thing. I'd be shocked if De'Aaron doesn't get 30-plus tonight.
Yeah, that's barbecue chicken, and De'Aaron still coming back from that ankle looked good. He did have to stretch out a little bit and was feeling some things, but De'Aaron looked great from the 209. No cap if the Kings clamp up how they've been and run those vicious fast breaks and half-court sets. We definitely can go 6-0 for a 9-game win streak. It's very possible, and that's from Jamie in the 209. It's extremely possible. When did you find out about the whole no cap thing?
I mean, it was probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Okay.
At this point. Yeah.
Cause I told you,
I feel
about
like I was late on it. Like, there's probably high schoolers across America saying,
oh, I
no
got
cap
one for you.
Past, like,
I got one for
years.
You before we get to a break, because I'm with my little nephew. Yeah. Right. And we're at Popeyes. Right. And we're in line to get Popeyes. You know, I need my Popeyes chicken sandwich. And he goes, and I don't even know if he used it correctly. This is like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, let me just get a fruit punch, no cap. And oof. I sounded so old.
Yeah.
Because what I said next.
Like, no lid?
I said, dude, you're not going to have a drink with no lid in my mouth. Oh, my God. And he's like, dude, I mean,
you
like.
He looked at you so foul.
He goes, dude, I mean, like, no, I mean, for real. Like, that's what I want. I'm like, well, I never said it wasn't. Why would you say that? I don't even know if he used it correctly.
I don't think that's on you. Yeah, that's not. That's
I said,
on
you're
him.
Not going to use this in my car.
Yeah, that's wild.
This actually a fact.
That's crazy.
Gosh, got to get to a break. When we get back, we are asking the question. We are reading off some stats. Is Brock Purdy better than Josh Allen? And no. At 1:30, don't think we forgot. It is the DOG. It is the dog segment at 1:30. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.